It's under your wings, O Lord, that we are safely abiding. Thank you that we can trust you, our Redeemer, and thank you that resting in you, Jesus, we are safe forever. Amen. Where is true rest found? True rest is only found in our Redeemer. We need to trust, and we need to come to our Redeemer who will give us rest. In Ruth 1:9, Naomi encouraged Ruth and Orpah to find rest back in Moab. But Ruth knew that true rest would not be found in Moab, and so in chapter 1 she said, "Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." Last week we saw in Ruth 2 how Boaz prayed for Ruth that she would be rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings she had come to take refuge. So in this chapter, will Ruth now find that reward? Will she find rest, true rest? The Hebrew word for rest is also translated security or home, but its meaning in other parts of the Old Testament is a place or a condition of rest. Naomi was not just concerned for Ruth's physical needs, for food, for safety, but extended beyond that to her deeper need for security. In trust, Ruth needs to come to her Redeemer, who will give her rest. As we dig into Ruth 3, I'd like to review one tool for you for understanding the structure of a passage to help us see what is the main point. So I'm going to go through a couple slides really quickly, and then I'll promise that I'll post some of these on the podcast, okay? So you remember we had this, it's called a plot arc, okay? So it starts with a character and setting, a conflict, there's a rising action, and finally a climax, and then there's some falling action, and then there's a resolution, which might be a new setting, not necessarily back down to the previous setting. And so in this story, we have these same things that are happening. In this chapter, we first see a plot hatched by Naomi. We see that there's a conflict. We see tension is rising. Ruth needs a redeemer. And then we have a proposal, and we see the promise of redemption that Boaz gives. We see there's a little glitch here on the way down the story. And then we have a new setting where Ruth and Naomi need to have patience and trust as they wait to see how it will turn out. So here is the outline for this morning, what I'm going to share with you. So we're going to start in verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to read those right now. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." So Naomi hatches a plot. She has a wonderful plan for Ruth's life. By the way, this is not a game plan from our Titus 2 mentoring manual. We would not expect our older women at Bethlehem to give this kind of advice to our young women. A little note here also on preparing. There's a parallel passage in 2 Samuel where David mourned the loss of his son. And when he was done mourning, he washed himself, he applied perfume, and he went to the temple to worship. And this signaled the end of David's mourning for his son. And it might be that this is what Naomi was encouraging Ruth to do. She may have been wearing her mourning clothes as she was going out to work in the fields. Daniel Block wrote this, "Perhaps he was being sensitive toward Ruth as a widow, not wishing to impose himself upon her until she was emotionally healed and ready to contemplate remarriage. Obviously, he was not making any moves. So Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, took it upon herself to overcome his inertia." One more thing to remember. We know that Boaz is a relative and he's one of the possible redeemers, but he clearly had no legal obligation to redeem Ruth, or Naomi would not have needed to hatch this kind of plan, this dangerous plan. Ruth could have simply walked up to Boaz in the field or in the center of the city and said, "You're my kinsman redeemer. What are you waiting for?" But the plot here involves a visit to Boaz, who's going to be sleeping on the threshing floor that night, guarding the grain from theft. So what is going on here? What is Naomi actually saying? Scholars say that Naomi's instructions to Ruth are extremely ambiguous, even more so in the original Hebrew, where virtually every word in verse 4 is capable of more than one meaning. It seems quite risky. And one of the questions you were asked this week was for you to imagine all the things that could go wrong. What if Ruth is seen? What if Ruth were to lie down next to the wrong person? What if others hear their conversation? What if Boaz was a sound sleeper and he didn't notice Ruth? You know, what if all the above go right and then he turns down Ruth's proposal? What if Boaz wakes up thinking that she's a prostitute? From what we know of Boaz, he was very unlikely to accept the advances of a prostitute, but could he be angry with Ruth, thinking that she was acting like one? So Naomi is betting on Boaz's worthiness, that he will understand the meaning of Ruth's actions and that he will respond with favor. So in trust, Ruth needs to come to her Redeemer, who will give her rest. Tension is building, a potential disaster is brewing, so let's read on, verses 5 through 9. And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor, and she did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Do you remember Adam going to sleep and waking up to find Eve? So too, Boaz wakes up and discovers a woman here at his feet. And it's here that Ruth departs from Naomi's plan. She didn't want to leave this situation ambiguous. She wanted to make her intentions crystal clear right from the get-go. Her goal was a commitment from her Redeemer. She wanted security. She wanted rest. She didn't want a one-night stand. So you remember Naomi had ended her instructions in verses 2 through 4 by telling her to do whatever Boaz would say that she was to do. So now Ruth goes off script, and she speaks, and she tells Boaz what to do. "Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Think of the words of the song that we just sang a minute ago. "Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child." Imagine the courage that this required on Ruth's part. Here she is, a foreigner. She's asking to be a part of the family. She uses the same word that Boaz has used previously, the word wings. Boaz used that to describe her when he first met her, when he prayed that blessing on her, when he said, "A full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So now she is asking Boaz to be the tangible expression of God's wings, the answer to his own prayer. She's asking Boaz to be her refuge, to provide for her, to protect her, to share his abundance and security and rest with her. In trust, Ruth has come to her Redeemer, who will give her rest. Let's read verses 10 through 13, the promise of redemption. And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." Right away, we get the idea that Boaz is delighted that she has asked him to be her redeemer. He knows that she is a worthy woman. Her kindness, that word is hesed, that loving kindness, first to Naomi and now to him by not going after the young guys. He was amazed that she would choose him instead of going after them. He was willing and able to be her redeemer. In trust, Ruth has a redeemer who will give her rest. So Boaz and Ruth live happily ever after, right? Well, not so fast. Ruth knows that Boaz is a redeemer, a relative, but now Boaz tells her this glitch. Can you imagine that sinking feeling in her heart? He wants to do what is right in God's eyes, but he's not the closest relative. There's another relative who has even more of a claim to her than he does. And then if this other guy isn't willing to marry her, then Boaz totally will. Doesn't that sound romantic? Nancy Guthrie wrote this. She said, Ruth knows she is engaged to be married. She's just not sure who the groom will be. And so she must wait patiently. So in trust and with patience, Ruth waits for her Redeemer who will give her rest. Verses 14 through 18, patience and trust. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. In today's vernacular, we might say, what happens on the threshing floor stays on the threshing floor. So Boaz honors and protects Ruth and her reputation. So she lay there until the morning, and then she leaves before the sun comes up. He said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? And the King James here says, who are you, my daughter? Meaning, has your identity changed? You know, has your position changed? Then she, Ruth, told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. Did you notice that the chapter begins with rest and ends with Boaz not resting? Boaz does give her a bunch of barley to take back with her, almost as good as a dozen red roses, but 6 measures of barley. We're not sure exactly how much that is because it doesn't say exactly what the measurement is, but we know that it's quite a lot because Boaz has to lift it onto her and set it there for her to carry home. In the Bible, the number 6 stands for incompleteness, where the number 7 represents completeness. And so you remember creation, when God created the world, how he worked for 6 days, and on the 7th, what did he do? He rested, right. And so too, this generous gift of barley is incomplete on its own. Next week in Ruth 4, we're gonna see the final installment of seed that will accomplish her rest. And so I'm gonna leave that for Abigail. But Boaz's generosity sends a message to Naomi that he is committed to redeem Ruth. And so again, we're seeing a theme from the book of Ruth, that Ruth comes empty and she leaves being full. Every time Ruth comes to Boaz, she goes home full. Naomi says that Boaz will not rest, but will settle the matter today. And so they settle in to wait to hear who Ruth will marry, an unnamed guy who she's never met, maybe, or Boaz, who is not resting, but settling the matter. So in trust and with patience, Ruth waits for her Redeemer who will give her rest. Last week we saw in chapter 2, opened with the statement that Boaz was a worthy man. And in chapter 3, now verse 11, Boaz says that Ruth is a worthy woman. And it's tempting to focus on the worthiness of these two remarkable people. It would be easy to come up with all kinds of applications for us as we seek to be like Ruth or like Boaz. And if you had extra time this week, you might have discovered that when Boaz says that Ruth is a worthy woman, that this is the same word, the same phrase that's used in Proverbs 31. And in the Jewish order of the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth follows immediately after Proverbs. And so Ruth then serves as an example of the Proverbs 31 woman. She is that worthy woman. And in Proverbs 31:26, we read, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness, that hesed, is on her tongue. So Ruth and Boaz are worthy. Yes, they both demonstrate God's hesed, his loving kindness. But why? Because of God's grace and because of his wisdom that God has given to them. Both Ruth and Boaz receive more than what they know they deserve. Yahweh supplies their needs and makes them part of his people. It's God's grace that Ruth, as a foreigner, is brought into the family. Did you notice that Ruth is not called the Moabite in this chapter at all? She's called my daughter, worthy woman, and Boaz says, I will redeem you. And it's God's grace that Boaz, as an older man, is chosen by young Ruth to love. So both Boaz and Ruth have taken refuge under God's kind wings. And from that place of refuge and that place of rest, they share the kindness of the Lord himself. Last week, Abigail helped us to look along the beam of light that is Boaz, pointing to our all-sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. She said this, Boaz is a pointer to the better Adam, Jesus. And when we compare Boaz to Jesus, we see just how much better Jesus is than anyone else in history, even worthy Boaz. So what I'd like us to do is look back over chapter 3 again, this time looking for Jesus. There are two ditches, as Pastor Jason would say, that we should avoid. I don't want to super spiritualize this passage to the point where every phrase or word has some deep hidden meaning, but I also don't want us to simply look at the characters and say, do this, don't do this, be like Ruth, be like Boaz. So let's look back over. Let's look at the plot first, because we need a redeemer who will give us rest. Naomi was seeking rest for Ruth, who had received much grace and kindness from Boaz, even having leftovers to take home, remember from last week, or receiving abundant gifts. But Naomi desired more for Ruth. We too must want more. It's not the gifts that we seek, it's the giver. When we have Jesus, then we have everything that he owns. And when we treasure Jesus and Jesus alone, that's when we find true satisfaction. The good news is that we do not need to hatch a risky plot to get Jesus and to get true rest. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. True rest is only found in Jesus. Jesus is our rest. Part of Naomi's plan was preparation. Ruth prepared by washing, anointing, changing her clothes, and we saw that she may have taken off her mourning clothes to signal her readiness for marriage. In the Bible, clothing does carry significance. However, we do not come to Jesus after getting cleaned up and putting on our fresh clothes. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, but only God could forgive them and clothe them properly, and he had to shed blood to do it. We can't come to God on our own terms by cleaning ourselves up. The Bible tells us that we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The great news is that for our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We get Jesus' righteousness. And salvation is gloriously pictured as a change of clothes. In Isaiah 61:10, we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And you remember when the prodigal son returns? Luke tells us, but the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. As believers, we're commanded to put off the old and to put on the new. But do you see the contrast here? Naomi plots, Ruth obeys, she gets cleaned up, she goes to Boaz, and she hopes that he will cover her and redeem her. And wonderfully, he does redeem her, but we don't need to plot or get cleaned up to come to Jesus. Jesus saves us while we are still sinners in our old filthy rags of self-righteousness. Then we come to the proposal. Ruth asks Boaz to cover her with his wings, to protect her, to be her refuge, to give her rest. We need a redeemer to give us rest. In your lesson this week, you saw that the term wing or wings and corner of the garment were equivalent to a proposal of marriage and was used by Ezekiel to describe God's covenant love for his bride. And I just want you to note the order here. When I passed by you, this is God speaking, and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I bathed you with water, and I washed off your blood from you, anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth, and shod you with fine leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. So Boaz spread the corner of his garment, his wing, over Ruth, who had placed herself at his feet. This is a picture of Christ's relationship to those who trust him and belong to him. Jesus spreads his robe of righteousness over us as we put ourselves at his feet. Jesus pleaded with his people to take refuge under his wings. In Luke 13, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Boaz is a picture of Christ. He is a close relative. He's qualified to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Jesus, too, took on flesh and became one of us, closer than a brother. I want you to consider Isaiah 53. You know that chapter about Jesus bearing our griefs and our sorrows? Then in Isaiah 54:4, we read this. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. So we come to the promise of redemption. Boaz points to Jesus in his response to her and his promise to redeem her. We need a redeemer who will give us rest. In the responses of Boaz to Ruth, here's what we see. Boaz spoke to Ruth, and so Jesus speaks to us from his word. John 1:14 tells us, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Boaz might have refused to have anything to do with Ruth, but in his love for her, he accepted her. So too, Jesus loves and accepts us. Boaz called Ruth my daughter. John 1:12 states, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Daughters. Boaz blessed Ruth, and Jesus blesses us, according to Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Do we realize the great love that Jesus, our Redeemer, has for us? We don't need to be afraid to draw near to him and share in a close relationship. In John 14, Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Boaz assured Ruth, and Jesus assures us. In the darkness, Ruth couldn't see the face of Boaz, but she could hear his voice and his loving assurance to her, my daughter, do not fear. When we are in a dark season, we can't rely on our feelings or our circumstances. We must listen to the loving assurance of Jesus, not to fear, but to trust him and his word. Jesus told us, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Boaz calmed Ruth's fears, and he also made a promise to her concerning the future when he said, I will do for you all that you ask. Jesus is faithful to keep his promises too. When God starts something, he finishes. And what he does well. Boaz tells Ruth that there is another Redeemer who is closer. Jesus is our Redeemer and our brother, and there is no other. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Boaz and Ruth were at the threshing floor, which was outside the gates of the city. Jesus, too, went outside the gates of the city to the cross to accomplish our redemption. Hebrews 13:2 tells us, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Just as Boaz is like Jesus, we are like Ruth. We too must be washed of our sins and anointed by the Holy Spirit. We must be clothed in his righteousness. We say, cover me, Jesus. Our place is at his feet. We plead for mercy and kindness. We have no other hope. In chapter 3, we see Ruth being covered, safe, richly provided for, and Boaz promises to redeem her. She's a foreigner to Israel, not part of God's people, but next week, Ruth 4, we're going to see how she's welcomed and becomes part of God's people. In the same way, when Jesus redeems us by grace through faith, we're reconciled to God, we're no longer foreigners, and we become part of his family forever. 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And Ephesians 2 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the covenant of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ruth was redeemed, saved by grace. And we too have been saved by grace. Patience and trust. After telling Ruth not to fear, the next thing Boaz says is for her to remain, to lie down, to rest for the night. To rest. She had to rest on that threshing floor, trusting that Boaz would look after her. And isn't it the same for us? Jesus tells us not to be afraid, to rest in his love during storms of life. He did promise that we would have trouble, but he's with us, and he has overcome the world. Our faith undergoes refining in those times, those difficult times. And Jesus gets more glory when we place our problems at his feet, remaining restful and trusting in him in the middle of the storm. 2 Chronicles 20, which was Dave Zuliger's sermon text this past Sunday, also talks about rest in the face of disaster. Jehoshaphat was alarmed at the armies of Moab and Ammon. They were coming against Israel, and he was going to be defeated, so he turned his attention to the Lord, and he prayed, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And so, too, Ruth's eyes were on Boaz, waiting in patience. Naomi and Ruth believed that Boaz would do what he said he would do, so they waited patiently. And although Jesus has come and redeemed us, we're no longer waiting for our Redeemer to settle the matter. But we too are the bride of Christ, are in a time of waiting. We're in this already and not yet period of our redemption. And waiting is not easy, but we trust Jesus' promise to us, as Boaz also promised to Ruth when he said, and now my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask. As the Lord lives, I will redeem you. The last three verses of Ruth 3 also point to Jesus. As Boaz is generous, so Jesus is lavishly generous with us. Jesus fills our emptiness with the riches of his grace. Jesus gave his all. He gave his life. We need a Redeemer who will give us rest. So I'd like to end with an invitation to come to Jesus as your Redeemer. Our Redeemer loves us lavishly. 1 John 3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The love of Boaz for Ruth took him to the gates of Bethlehem to negotiate for Ruth's redemption. The love of God took Jesus from heaven to earth to become one of us. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem, like Boaz, but he found no refuge. And unlike Ruth, Jesus found no rest in Bethlehem. In fact, he was born in a stable and then had to flee for his life. The love of God took Jesus to the cross. Philippians 2 tells us that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died in the darkness of no ordinary Friday afternoon. It was the only way for those of us who were far off to be brought near. John 3:16 tells us that because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you know this love of God this morning? We need a Redeemer who will give us rest, eternal rest. He will be your Redeemer. He will welcome you into his family. He will cover you with his wings and be your refuge. He will give you the robe of Jesus' righteousness to cover your nakedness. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, we are all undeserving of his grace. The invitation is open. In trust, come to your Redeemer who will give you rest. Come be redeemed. God will welcome you for the sake of Jesus. He loves you. So let's pray. Under your wings, Lord, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust you. I know you will keep me. You have redeemed me and I'm your child. I know that under your wings, Lord, nothing can take me from your love. Under your wings, I will abide safely forever. Under your wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to your rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under your wings, oh, Jesus, resting in you, I'm safe evermore. May that be true of each one of us here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.